studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and persons who are killing the planet, and about the folks who have detailed information on saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up on a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in the Dragon at that road blockade. If you do have information, news, or announcements, comments, or anything else for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the second half of the show. Let's start off with activist news. Indian wildlife group to oppose bail for Russians. From New Delhi, we read, the Wildlife Protection Society of India said it would help authorities oppose the bail petition of two Russian nationals arrested last week on charges of illegally collecting live insects. The two Russians were among six people arrested by Indian forest guards in the remote Himalayan state of Sikkim on charges of collecting around 2,000 butterflies, moths, and beetles. In response to an urgent message, WPSI, the Wildlife Protection Society of India, has sent a legal representative to Gangtok, the capital of Sikkim. He will be meeting with the chief wildlife warden tomorrow and will be assisting the forest department in aggressively opposing bail. Wright said that was by Belinda Wright, the executive director of WPSI. Wright said the six people were expected to appear in court Friday. Forest Department officials told Reuters last week that two Russians and four porters had been held under an Indian law prohibiting the collection of insects. They are arrested in a remote forest area of Yuksome with more than 15 kilograms of live insects in their possession, many of them on the endangered list. The tiny state of Sikkim, which has a population of slightly more than 600,000 people, is situated in the eastern Himalaya and is famous for some 600 varieties of butterflies and 500 species of birds. And we thank the Reuters News Service for that one. Moving to Oregon, the first ever tree sit on state lands takes root in God's Valley. Local citizens and environmental group Hard Rain Alliance vow to support tree sit to protect the ancient trees. The Hard Rain Alliance, a Tillamook County-based grassroots organization committed to nonviolent direct action in Oregon, supports the Cascadia Forest Alliance's AC Line tree sit to protect the highly sensitive and unique area of the Tillamook State Forest. The tree sit was put in over last weekend to protect a large grove of over 100-year-old trees in Area 4 of the controversial timber sale. The Oregon Department of Forestry broke its promise to modify or cancel the sale based on local input to the disgust of concerned citizens. ODF allowed logging of Area 3 to begin on August 1st without prior public notification. We believe the Cascadia Forest Alliance's act of peaceful protest is the best way to halt logging in this very special and ecologically important place and raise public awareness about the Oregon Department of Forestry's deforestation plan for the Tillamook State Forest, said HRA spokesperson Cheryl Rorbeck-Siller. HRA and CFA call upon the ODF to stop all logging operations immediately in the disputed AC Line sale area, in recognition that, one, they are threatened and endangered species issues as well as water quality concerns. Local citizens have observed and documented violations in the purchaser's contract, and continued logging of these ancient groves is clearly not in the best interest of the state or the threatened and endangered species that depend upon them. Quote, we are willing to take ODF's word that they are not going to log these sensitive areas as requested by Governor Kitzhaber, but it's quite obvious that ODF lied to us. This left us with no alternative but nonviolent direct action to save the few ancient trees that remain in the Tillamook, said Donald Footnot of the Cascadia Forest Alliance. Once you see the destruction in Area 3, you can't help but do something to prevent the same in Area 4. Area 4 of the AC Thin Timber Sale in God's Valley in the Tillamook State Forest can begin any day. Areas 1 and 2 have seasonal restrictions, and logging is not supposed to begin until mid-September. We had hoped that ODF would be willing to work out some sort of compromise in these older sensitive areas, said Rorbeck Seiler of HRA, who lives within a mile of the sale. The focus group that ODF put together was a total PR sham. Ignoring our concerns and logging all of Area 3 without public notification really makes us feel that we were stabbed in the back. If you'd like to contact Cheryl of the Hard Rain Alliance, her number, 503-368-4521. That's 503-368-4521. And she'll give a guided tour to the ancient grove where the tree sit is located. You can also go to the web and check out www.cascadiaforestalliance.org. That's cascadiaforestalliance.org. Or you can try calling State Forester Jim Brown. His number is 503-945-7211. That's 503-945-7211. Tell Forester Jim Brown that you want an immediate halt to all logging at AC, and then insist that a full investigation regarding contract violations begin immediately. Moving to California, a road action on the Boulder Creek, California THP. Early on the morning of 13 August, woods activists called Ewoks blockaded the road leading from Sykes 2 Timber Harvest Plan near Boulder Creek, California. A car on the road called a Dragon with an activist inside with his arm extending down into a hole in the ground blocked logging trucks from Redwood Empire from exiting the site for almost 5 hours. While that action is now over, stopping work on the THP slowed down the destruction of the forest and cost Redwood Empire both time and money. Santa Cruz Earth First has been waging a campaign against this out-of-county timber baron since 1995, with actions at Gamecock Canyon, Ramsey Gulch, where a tree sit has protected almost three acres of steep slopes and with old-growth and maturing second-growth forest for nearly 14 months, and most recently at the Levin THP near the Redwood Elementary School in Boulder Creek. Santa Cruz activists are pledged to no compromise in defense of Mother Earth while doing nonviolent direct action, and tree sits are ongoing at Sykes number 2. Moving to Los Angeles, protesters win a bid to save part of L.A. wetlands. Environmental activists won the right to preserve some of Southern California's dwindling wetlands in an area of coastal Los Angeles slated to be turned into a hub for high-priced homes and media companies under a deal announced last week. Under the agreement, for which environmental groups hailed as a major victory, just under a fifth of the 1,087-acre Playa Vista site near Marina del Rey, a swanky oceanside suburb, will be earmarked for preservation if a trust fund can raise the necessary money to buy it. The property, once owned by eccentric millionaire Howard Hughes, is set to be developed into a kind of campus for media companies, with the architectural centerpiece to be designed by a renowned architect, Frank Gehry. Environmental groups had long argued the area should be preserved as a habitat for a number of endangered species and had petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court to stop the developer from building on the site, where new homes are expected to sell for $250,000 up to $1 million. We think that this is the beginning of something bigger, said Roy Vandehoek, a Sierra Club field biologist who had helped fight against the controversial development. Their white flag of truce has gone up, so to speak. Under the deal concluded Wednesday, the site's developer, Playa Vista Corporation, granted the Trust for Public Land, a land conservation group, an exclusive option to buy about 190 acres. The land had been designated for condominiums and apartment buildings as part of the sprawling project. No price is stipulated in the agreement, but the property has significant value, a Playa Vista spokesperson said. Within the next few weeks, an appraiser will set the value of the land. The state of California has already budgeted about $25 million to turn the undeveloped area into a public parkland. We'll work the hardest we possibly can to raise that money, said Reed Holderman, executive director of the trust. Environmentalists who have fought to stop the development have said it will destroy the wetlands, home of the endangered great blue heron, and that methane deposits below the surface make building dangerous. While cities like New York and San Diego have relegated about a quarter of their land area to open space, Los Angeles lags behind with less than 10% of undeveloped land, Holderman said. There just aren't places like this in L.A., Holderman said. A lot of kids, especially in poor areas, don't get the opportunity to witness natural systems in action. This is one opportunity for them to see it right in their own backyards. Protesters, including Eric Lloyd Wright, grandson of architect Frank Lloyd Wright, recently staged a vigil in front of the Santa Monica offices of Gehry, asking the architect to resign from his post as designer in the Playa Vista project. But Gehry's office could not be immediately contacted for comment. This story is written by Jana Meyer of the Writers News Service, and Earth First Radio thanks her. Moving up to Northern California, activists defend the Golden Eagle in the Mattole, and cutting has stopped on Green Ridge and Devil's Hole THP. Since an immature Golden Eagle was found on the ground in the middle of an operating clear cut in early July by a Columbia contracted tree faller, it has been a turbulent and disturbing lifestyle for that eagle. After initially being taken to Sacramento for rehabilitation and then returned, it has learned to fly and stayed around its original nest site on Green Ridge in the Mattole River watershed. Within a week of its return, the parent birds had been sighted back in the area, but that did not stop Columbia Helicopter, operating under contract for Pacific Lumber, from resuming helicopter yarding operations across the canyon on Van Schoik Ridge, and clear-cutting young to late Cyril and old-growth Douglas fir trees on the lower Green Ridge and two plans in the nearby Devil's Hole. 3 to 4 dozen log trucks a day leave the area full of logs bound out of the Mattole through the adjacent state park. On Friday, August 3rd, nearly a dozen forest defense activists met a three-person falling crew that were starting their eighth day of cutting on the two units above Devil's Hole. The fallers stopped cutting at contact and proceeded to spend an entire workday in dialogue with activists before leaving the area for the day. The fallers, independently subcontracted to cut just those two units, decided to leave the last small pocket of defended trees in the nearly completed unit and return home to Oregon. This same tactic was pursued by activists the next Tuesday, August 7th, as they met one faller at sunrise before he started work cutting very large Douglas fir oaks, madrones, and buckeyes on the southern side of Green Ridge, less than a mile from the eagle's nest site. He claimed to be the faller who had found the eagle on the ground and initially reported the bird, halting their logging operation for weeks. No one returned to the unit the rest of the day. "I saw the eagle on Monday in the sky while at the same time I was watching that giant helicopter carrying logs," said Cricket, an activist. "The noise and turbulence that machine causes is terrible. I hope the situation will be changed soon because I can't imagine any animal will want to stay here by the time they are finished." This incredibly steep area of the Rainbow Ridge complex has been heavily impacted by a history of logging, cattle grazing, and a huge wildfire in 1990 and subsequent clear cuts on hundreds of acres. What is left of the units on Green Ridge is almost the last late Cyril to old growth forest left in the area that is legal for Pacific Lumber to cut under the restrictions of the HCP. That's the Habitat Conservation Plan. This is a native forest that has naturally existed with fire for millennia. There is a diverse flora and fauna sustained by this pocket of habitat, including a large population of nesting raptors and potentially owls. The units on Green Ridge were designated as not eagle or comparable raptor habitat by the registered professional forester who wrote the timber harvest plan, and this was not contested, monitored, or even hardly noticed by the California Department of Fish and Game and the California Department of Forests. Let's get into some announcements here. Rally and protest and call-in day. Come out and protest the Quartz Creek Timber Sale Auction. That's almost 1,000 acres of public state forest land in Astoria, Oregon. The address is 92219 Highway 202 in Astoria, Oregon, and this is happening on Tuesday, August 21st at 2 p.m. Carpools will leave the Daily Grind in Portland, Oregon, from the parking lot located at 42nd and Southeast Hawthorne between 9:30 and 10 a.m. Tuesday morning. The Quartz Creek Timber Sale is scheduled to build over 9 miles of new road in the already over-roaded Astoria district of the Tillamook State Forest. These roads are to be built above the salmon-bearing Quartz and Rocks Creek. If you can't make it to the rally, call 503-325-5451. That's the number for Stan Medema. And that number again, 503-325-5451. Ask Dan to demand that this sale be pulled from the auction. All right. If you want more information, try www.cascadiaforestalliance.org. That's www.cascadiaforestalliance.org. And if you'd like more information, give them a call at 503-241-4879. Their number again, 503-241-4879. And attention, forest activists. As you know, the Forest Service has issued a notice for public comment on the roadless rule. While we believe the public has already spoken on this matter and the agency held 600 meetings and recorded 1.6 million comments on the issue, we all, nonetheless, must make our voices heard again. It is critical that we flood the Forest Service with comments in support of protecting roadless areas. Your comments must be received by September 10th. If you'd like more information and sample letters, go to www.americanlands.org. That's www.americanlands.org. Here's the address to send your comments to: USDA Forest Service, C-A-T. That's USDA Forest Service, C-A-T, Attention Roadless A-N-P-R. That's Roadless A-N-P-R. The address, P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84122. I'll read the whole thing over again. USDA Forest Service, C-A-T, Attention Roadless A-N-P-R, P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84122. And you only have a few more days to do that, so get that letter sent off. Here's an announcement of a road show: On the Road with the Buffalo, a special presentation on the plight of America's last wild buffalo herd. 60 million wild buffalo once roamed free in North America a little more than a century ago, and in less than a century, the U.S. government wiped out the immense roaming herds to take away the Native American people's resistance and to clear the land for livestock and other developments. By 1902, just 23 wild buffalo remained, finding refuge in the newly created Yellowstone National Park. Today, the remaining descendants of those icons of the American West live on, but in peril. A recently released $45 million 15-year plan calls for capturing, confining, killing, and quarantining this remnant Native buffalo herd. At the behest of the powerful livestock industry, the state of Montana and the U.S. government have slaughtered over 3,000 buffalo since 1989, including one-third of the herd during the winter of 1996 and 97. Join Mike Mees, campaign director and co-founder of the Buffalo Field Campaign, and Daryl Geist, executive director of Coal Mountains Cold Rivers, as they present video clips from the field and discuss this American travesty in an open forum. And, of course, any donations you make are greatly appreciated and are tax-deductible, as allowed by the IRS. And you should look for the Buffalo Field Campaign's roadshow in Ventura, California, on Thursday, August 23rd, at the Patagonia Outlet, 235 West Santa Clara Street, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Once again, the Patagonia Outlet, 235 West Santa Clara Street in Ventura, California, Thursday, August 23rd from 7 to 8:30 p.m. If you live in San Diego or that area, they will be at the Mission Trails Regional Park, 1 Junipero Serra Trail in San Diego, on Friday, August 24th from 7 to 9 p.m. Once again, that's the Mission Trails Regional Park, 1 Father Junipero Serra Trail in San Diego, Friday, August 24th from 7 to 9 p.m. And on the next night, also in San Diego, at the San Diego Zoo, at the Otto Center Auditorium, 2920 Zoo Drive. That's on Saturday, August 25th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Once again, the Buffalo Field Campaign Roadshow will be at the San Diego Zoo Otto Center Auditorium, 2920 Zoo Drive in San Diego, Saturday, August 25th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Should be a great show. I hear they had a great time last night in Santa Cruz. Coming up is Earth Vision 2001, an international environmental video competition and festival. Now is the time to get your environmental video into this Earth Vision 2001 contest. The entry deadline is August 31st, so you don't have much time. I suggest you call Earth Vision at the Community Television of Santa Cruz County. Their number 831-425-8848, extension 317. That's 831-425-8848, extension 317. And you can give them information about how to enter Earth Vision 2001. Once again, your deadline for entries is August 31st. There is a small $35 non-refundable entry fee. If you don't have the $35, it's possible that you can get sponsored. So that's one thing. The categories are forests, alternative energy and vehicles, pollution and global warming, farming, pesticides and soils, water quality, watersheds and oceans, endangered species and habitats, environmental sustainability, the environmental and social justice, and that all encompassing category other. In addition to all those categories, there is a special Grassroots Action Award, which is given for the best environmental or activist-oriented submission. And that award will be given to films made by activists. And we're not talking about professional environmental filmmakers here. We're talking about on-the-roots, grassroots activism. That is Earth Vision 2001. Once again, the phone number for entries, 831-425-8848, extension 317. Or if you want to go to the web for more information, www.communitytv.org, and look for Earth Vision 2001, the International Environmental Video Competition and Festival for this year. And Uncle Dennis is a judge in that one. All right, let's get on into animal news here. Moving to Canada, a Canadian judge has given spotted owls temporary reprieve. Environmentalists won at least a temporary victory in their bid to prevent logging in British Columbia forest that is home to the endangered northern spotted owl. A British Columbia Supreme Court judge overturned several logging permits given to the Cattermole Timber Company and ordered the cutting request to be reviewed again by British Columbia's Forest Service. Environmental groups had challenged the permits, arguing that forest officials ignored warnings from their provincial environmental protection counterparts that the logging near Yale in British Columbia would threaten the owls. And get that news from Reuters News Service. And an appeals court has upheld a limit on dolphin-safe tags. A federal appeals court has refused to permit the U.S. Department of Commerce to loosen the standards under which tuna sold in U.S. stores can be labeled dolphin safe. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, upholding a lower court ruling last year which infuriated the Mexican fishing industry, said the Commerce Department must conduct further studies before permitting sales in the United States of tuna caught with purse seine nets. These huge encircling nets are used in the eastern tropical Pacific to catch yellowfin tuna swimming below dolphins. They get their name as they can be closed just like a drawstring purse. While fishermen generally release the dolphins, environmental groups say thousands die every year from injuries sustained while entangled in the nets. Eager to maintain their dolphin-safe rating, America's top three tuna producers, Starkist, Chicken of the Sea, and Bumblebee, which together account for more than 90% of the U.S. tuna market, refuse to process tuna captured through chase and encirclement of dolphins. The Commerce Department had sought to change the standards under a 1997 law passed by Congress, aimed at finding a compromise on fishing trade frictions, particularly with Mexico. That compromise would have allowed the dolphin-safe label to be used for tuna caught in nets if observers on the foreign boats had not seen dolphins killed or seriously injured. But last year, U.S. District Judge Felton Henderson upheld the existing standards for dolphin safe labeling, saying then-Commerce Secretary William Daley had failed to adequately assess whether the proposed change in label standards would have any impact on dolphin population levels. The three-judge appellate court agreed, saying the 1997 law required more studies before any label changes. Among the studies required are an analysis of whether the stress of being repeatedly chased and caught was reducing dolphin populations. This is a clear victory for dolphins and a victory for consumers, said Mark Berman, a spokesman for the Earth Island Institute, one of the groups which sued to stop the label change. The U.S. government and Mexico were both in on this bogus labeling regime to defraud the consumer and market dolphin-deadly tuna. Mexico, which has seen its fishing industry seriously weakened over the past decade, pledged last year to fight for looser standards on dolphin-safe labeling and called the U.S. court's ruling a form of trade protectionism. The U.S. government said it was studying the appeals court ruling and would consider appealing it. We're reviewing the judge's decision. We'll make a determination as to our options, said Gordon Helm, a spokesperson for the U.S. National Marine Fisheries Service. Helm said the agency, which is part of the Commerce Department, had already commissioned a number of studies to cover the areas highlighted by the court and expected to submit its findings in a report to the U.S. Congress within the next year. U.S. officials said they fear repeated legal defeats on the labeling issue could force Mexico to abandon the International Dolphin Conservation Program it has followed since 1990, undermining the overall effort to protect and monitor dolphin populations around the world. But Berman of the Earth Island Institute said consumer pressure would eventually force Mexico and other countries to adhere to dolphin-safe fishing techniques. Already, they hardly have any markets for their fish and will keep closing the markets for dolphin-deadly fish, Berman said. This is a clear signal that it is time for Mexico to join the rest of the world in promoting dolphin-safe tuna. And this story was written by Andrew Quinn of the Reuters News Service. And we're going to head out on a musical break here with this tune from Robert Hoyt. This one's called The Swamp.
So you people think you've been in some mighty wild places, high mountaintops and in wide open spaces. I don't care where you choose to rock, but you ain't seen nothing till you've been in the swamp. Where the black bear frolics and the barred owl talks, some people say that the panther still walks. Watch out for your kids, watch out for your dog. Don't step there, that ain't no log. Swamp, swamp, the swamp is alive. Swamp, swamp, we survive. Listen to the frogs and listen to your feared. Says a city living human ain't got no business here. Oh, well, a cottonmouth moccasin comes swimming by you. The stories I've heard, well, I hope they aren't true. To die in the swamp ain't no crime. The mosquitoes haul you off and drop a blood at a time. Swamp, swamp, the swamp is alive. Swamp, swamp, we survive. You think you're gonna live, then you know you're gonna die. Cause the wild pig is staring you right straight in the eye.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.